the people in North America for the very first time a working demo of OS 4 on the Amiga. We're running today on a 4000 desktop, and the CPU card in there is a CyberStorm PowerPC 200 megahertz 604 processor. Now, the PowerPC that works in these 4000s is a fairly old processor. It's not even part of the G series. You've heard about the G3s, the G4s. The Amiga ones that we're selling in the booth are G4s running at 800 megahertz. That's four times the clock speed alone. And, of course, the G4 processor is just a much more advanced design also. And so you've seen with the Pegasus people, their hardware is essentially identical. And those are the kinds of speeds that we can expect out of that Amiga One system. What we're doing is demoing a beta version of OS 4. You can't buy OS 4 today. It's still in development. But what we hope to show you is the extent to which this development has progressed and how close we are actually to a final delivery date. When this is delivered, it will run on the CyberStorm cards, which means on the old Amigas that have that capability, as well as on Amiga Ones, and we certainly expect that it will run on many, many other machines to be released in the future also, because this operating system is designed with portability and migrate ability in mind, and we expect it to have a good long life after this initial release. But you know, I've been with Amiga since the very early days. I had an Amiga 1000 when I started out. I got two more Amiga 1000s eventually. I've had Amiga 2000s. I've had Amiga 3000s. I've had Amiga 4000s. I've had 3000 towers. I've had 4000 towers. I'm a real Amiga lover. I've been with this for a long time, and it was a very sad day, etched deeply into my memory, 10 years ago when the web was alive with news of the final demise of Commodore, and Dave Haney's excellent deathbed vigil tape documenting that, and so on. And the questions that came up to all of us Amiga enthusiasts in those days are, what's going to happen to our platform? Are we ever going to have new hardware? Are we ever going to have new software? And as the years went by and promises were made and promises were broken and more promises made and more promises broken, the question modified itself, and we began to wonder, if we do have a new Amiga operating system, what's it going to look like? Is it going to be running on a set-top box? Is it going to be something that we recognize as Amiga OS? Is it going to have the look and feel and the usability and the efficient small size and the low use of resources and the power that we've come to expect of Amiga operating systems? And a little bit less than 2 weeks ago, when I got this beta version of OS 4, it was one of the happiest days in my life, because I looked at this and I said, this is Amiga. This is something that I recognize as Amiga OS. And anybody who's used Amiga OS is going to look at this and they're going to say, I know how to use this. I open up a preference requester and it may have new flexibility and new power and new configurability. And it may have new speed when it's running fully on the fastest processors. But I know how to use this. The preference requesters have buttons on the bottom: cancel, use, save. I know what those mean. I know what I'm going to get if I type use. I know what I'm going to get if I type save. And the pieces that were added on to our classic Amiga systems during this dead time since Commodore's demise, many of them gave some nice updates to the system, but they didn't have the Commodore look and feel. They didn't have the Amiga look and feel. They all had their own characteristics. They all worked the way that they worked. MUI, a very nice system. You could get some real configurability to your Windows, but it was not Amiga. It didn't work the way Amiga works, and worse than that, it was a hack on top of the operating system, which means that it could be incompatible with certain programs, it could be incompatible with other hacks. What I'm showing you here today is pretty much a pristine Amiga OS 4 installation. In terms of programs that are running right now on here, this is 100% Amiga OS, 0% hacks shown on this screen. In fact, there's 0% hacks installed even on this hard disk, although I have tried some legacy software, and so some of it's sitting there idle, I think. So when you see things like, when you see the shading in the title bar, darker on the left, lighter on the right. In fact, this is better than darker on the left, lighter on the right. It's also darker at the top, lighter at the bottom. This particular shading is applied at a 60-degree angle so that it has that diagonal look. And there's a similar shading on the inactive window, which is also at a 60-degree angle, but it's configurable by the preferences configuration to be anything that you want. You wouldn't have to have the same angle on active or inactive windows. In fact, one of the things that the designers of OS 4 have carried over from the original Amiga design is original Amiga cared very much about letting you personalize your workspace. There was an understanding that people who like Amiga computers have a certain artistic sensibility, I think, and definite personalities, and there's enough configuration in this operating system that there never have to be two machines that look exactly alike, and just by accident even, it's very unlikely that two machines would look exactly alike. So I want to show you some of that configurability in a minute, but the first thing I want to show you, I think, is something that I really appreciate. One of the things you can turn on and off is when you move your windows around, you may remember on your OS 3.9, when you do this, what you get is an outline of the window. And here, as I move this window, the whole thing moves around, complete with its contents. Also, if you resize the window, the contents regenerate. It's not just an outline. You see exactly what you're going to get. This was something you could do before with hacks on OS 3.9. This is not a hack. This is part of the operating system. It's designed into the operating system, guaranteed to cooperate with other programs. Also, as I move this window, if I want to enable it, used to be when you get to the edge here, that's as far as you can go. If you want to enable it, you can say, well, go ahead, let me move it off the window. This is getting in your way, but you want it back in a minute. Well, you just kind of get it mostly out of the way and bring it back later when you want it. Another feature that I have enabled, which you wouldn't have to enable if you didn't want to, you have a number of windows open on your desktop. You know that you can move the window to the front and back by clicking on this gadget or clicking on this gadget, front and back, with the left mouse button. With the right mouse button, you click on this with the right mouse button, and it will show you all the windows that are open on your screen. You can say, I want this one to come to the front, and it will. Let's open maybe another one so that we have more than just two. So now I have three windows open. I click any of these gadgets with the right mouse button. It says, well, there's this window and there's that window. Which one do you want to come to the front? Or you can, of course, click with the left mouse button and bring them to the front. No more completely hidden windows that you can't get at the front to the back gadget and you have to move things around. I really like that feature. Macintosh has that feature. In Macintosh, you go up into the upper right-hand corner here, and you can bring any window to the front that you want, but you have to go up into the upper right-hand corner. Here you have as many places to do that as you have windows open on the screen. By the way, the screen gadget works the same way. If I had another screen open, let's open eyebrows. And And there's a beta version of MUI running on here that brings up that requester. Here's iBrowse running, of course, on its own screen. And now if I right-click on the screen gadget, it will show me all the open windows and let me, or all the open screens, rather, and let me select which one I want to have. By the way, I think iBrowse is an excellent test of this operating system. iBrowse is a complicated program. Makes use of data types, makes use of a lot of graphics, makes use of custom screens, makes use of 24-bit color, all this stuff, and I think that's a real testament to how far along this operating system really is. There are dozens of beta testers testing this, beating it to death, trying to find bugs in the operating system, and unfortunately they still are finding some, but they're squashing them. And when they stop squashing them, that's when we finally get it delivered to us, because Hyperion is committed that they are not going to deliver this product and make all of the users into beta testers. When this is delivered, it's going to work out of the box. It's going to be the kind of reliability that we expect an Amiga to have. And I personally think that that's a great decision, because when the Amiga is reintroduced with OS 4, it's going to be like a brand new launch. It's been over 10 years since we've had Amiga. There are a lot of people out there just watching to see what Amiga is going to do, what this new OS 4 is going to be. We only get one chance at a first impression, and that first impression has got to work, and I think their decision is absolutely right. I'm very impressed with the quality of work that these people at Hyperion are putting in to this operating system. They've completely rewritten the low levels of the operating system, completely rewritten exec and all of those old low-level schedulers and so on in PowerPC native code. That's what you see running here. Everything is running on the PowerPC. The 68000 is completely redundant right now, and everything is running on the PowerPC. They had to rewrite things. They improved things. They squashed bugs. They are looking forward to the future, to things that are going to want to be added later on to make it possible to port this to other platforms, to make it possible to add other features. And I've spent my life, my professional career, I have a PhD in computer science. I work with other platforms all the time. I can tell you the quality is just evident at every level in this operating system, and I'm very impressed with the kind of work that Hyperion have been doing and the kind of results that I've been seeing with this. Here's the GUI preferences editor, which is one of the richest places where you can select things that you want to change on the operating system. One of the things that I've changed is this one, the text on colored areas. The default is black, and I turned it into white because I like this look. I like the text in this window title, in the active window title, to be white. It kind of emphasizes which window is the active one, and the text in the inactive windows remains black, which kind of emphasizes that those windows are inactive. Of course, that's my preference. Your preference could be something different. Another thing that I've changed on this is I've centered the window title position in the drag bar. I could have left it on the left side, which is the default on all previous versions, but I kind of liked it centered in the drag bar because it seems like a more logical place for that title. I also changed the screen title bar height. The screen title bar is this one. The window title bars are these. If you think that those are a little too big, why, you just crank them down a few notches using the minus gadget, or type in a size that you want. If you want them a little bit bigger, you crank them up to whatever size you want. The ultimate in customizability. That's what Amigans love to do with their computers, or one of the things that they love to do, and I certainly do. Window borders, window sizing gadgets specify the size of any of those things. Under appearance, in the screen title bar, I've chosen to put a bitmap into the screen title bar. You can put any, oops, I didn't mean to do that one. I meant to do that one. You can put any bitmap that you want into there, and there are a couple that are delivered with the operating system. I think these maybe are even from OS 3.9. But it means that the title bar isn't just a stark white empty space, but it's got whatever I had decided to put in there. And you can put any bitmap that you like in there. There's also gradients. The active window title bar, the inactive window title bar can have separate gradients specified. In my case, I've chosen just a simple gradient, which means that it's all shades of blue. I didn't mix two colors because there's a certain gaudiness that can occur if you go too far overboard with this, but you could mix colors in the gradients. You could do shading. You can independently specify the starting and ending contrast that you want on your colors, and you can specify the angle that you want to the gradient to be appear, to be applied. 0 degrees would mean you get a windows kind of look, that it's blue on one end and white on the other. 90 degrees would mean that it's blue on top and white on the bottom. 60 degrees gives you something else, and so on. You can make it anything that you like for that. So all this customizability, colors, borders, gadgets, how do you want your gadgets to look? Look at all the tabs that you get, the top to bottom here. The customizability is all part of the operating system, not a hack, and that means that it's going to work with your programs, whatever your programs are. Okay, you may have noticed that the windows are opening kind of slowly on this. In fact, they're running quite a bit slower than they do on an O60-based version of the operating system. There's a good reason for that, and that is because Hyperion is still beta testing this software, and they're doing it in a very aggressive way. The goal of beta testing is to find problems with your software. It's easier to find problems with your software if things are moving a little bit slowly, so there's that going on. But another thing is, if you leave some of the high-level parts of the operating system, the parts that have been rewritten and now working entirely in C, all the old BCPL stuff is out of there. It's all been rewritten into C. You leave those things running as 68,000 code. Okay, they're compiled as 68,000 code. That doesn't mean that they're using the 68,000 processor, because the 68,000 processor is completely inactive right now. What's happening is that they're written in 68,000 code, and there's a part of the operating system which looks at that and says, this is 68,000 code, I need to interpret this code and emulate it on a PowerPC. So there's a 68,000 emulator running that any time you try to run a 68,000 program, this emulator kicks in and it'll run it even though you're running a PowerPC processor. That's so important. I have shelves and shelves of old software, much of which I really like to use, and it's all compiled for 68,000s. I want to be able to take that software and put it into my Amiga 1 or into this machine running OS 4 and have it continue to run. And that's important to Hyperion, too. And that kind of compatibility has been a very important issue and one of the things that's being beta tested to death. And one good way of beta testing that 68,000 emulator is to have high levels of the operating system continue to be interpreted using that emulator. The business of recompiling those high-level things into native PowerPC code is absolutely trivial. You just set a switch on your compiler and you say, I want output in PowerPC code instead of in 68,000 code. And so the matter of redoing those into PowerPC native before delivery is going to be just a very, very short process. So part of the beta testing is that the upper levels of this operating system are 68,000 code. The lower levels are PowerPC code, because those need to be thoroughly debugged as their PowerPC versions. Some of them are written in PowerPC assembly language, and they need to be thoroughly debugged there. So it's a mix of these kinds of codes, and that means that we're not getting the kind of speed that we're ultimately obviously going to want. It's not a problem. It's part of the testing process. And, of course, the fact that this PowerPC card is some small fraction of the speed that the Amiga 1 is going to be running at. Okay, at this point, I'd like to open the floor to questions. People have questions about what's going on here. Yeah.
How far is the beta completed?
I'm not really privy to the internals of that work. What I see is pretty much what you see here in terms of the result. As I read this, the beta is very, very substantially completed. I'm not sure that percentage numbers are really meaningful. But anything that can run with this level of reliability and can run programs like iBrowse and open these preferences and have them work properly, that's very, very substantially completed. And I can't really say more than that, I think. Yeah. I think Ben is going to be giving a talk later. Again, I don't know what's going to be packaged with things. One thing that I did forget to mention that
I think the question is what's going to be packaged in with it.
A number of things that we've been waiting for a long time will be included and are included with this version. For instance, a TCP/IP stack. That's the stack that you need in order to access the internet. Hagen Partner, when they did OS 3.5 and OS 3.9, included what they called a TCP/IP stack, and in fact it was, of course, but it was a demo version of somebody else's TCP/IP stack, and if you wanted to be online for, say, more than 30 minutes, you had to send somebody else some money in order to do that, and of course, since it was a third-party piece of software, that means that it was configured how that third party thought that it ought to be configured. It did not have the Amiga look and feel. On the OS 4, we have a TCP/IP stack delivered with the operating system, built in with an Amiga look and feel, which is in fact more powerful than Miami Deluxe, which was previously the most powerful version that was available, was not even delivered with OS 3.9. This is a fully featured TCP/IP stack, complete with NAT redirection, complete with everything that you could possibly want in a TCP/IP stack. People who know how to configure these things will be very comfortable with the kind of numbers and the kind of things that you see on this screen. If you're a more beginning user, a more novice user, you probably would be more comfortable with using their wizard program that also comes with OS 4, that you open it up and it says, I see you want to make a connection to the internet. Do you want to do it with modem or through a Ethernet cable, and leads you through one step at a time using that simplified kind of interface that you've probably seen on other platforms. So all of this does come with OS 4. Things like TCP/IP, USB, graphics cards, drivers, all of the things that a modern user would expect in an operating system are being included. I can't speak to the browser thing, but I have a guess, but I'll leave that to Ben to actually answer. Yeah.
What about LAN?
This is LAN. Yeah, right.
The question is, what about LAN?
The TCP/IP is the protocol that's used over a local area network. So if you have broadband coming into your house, regardless how it's done, whether it's ISDN or DSL or cable modem, this this package supports it. It's all there. I have broadband in my house. I've used this. It's great. It works fine. Right. So I have an Ariadne in this.
He is a standard networking card. It's a networking card support.
One. Once again, the support of your legacy peripherals, the support of legacy software is a high priority. It's working. It's there. Yeah.
What about file sharing?
I haven't tried using file sharing yet. I haven't seen anything in here that's file sharing designed into the operating system, but of course there's Envoy on previous Amigas, and I would sort of expect that that would probably continue to work. I don't know. Yeah.
Will OS4 have a floppy?
We'll have a floppy drive on it. If you're running OS4 in a box like this, it will access your floppy drive just fine. If you're running OS4 on an Amiga 1, they also mostly have floppy drives with them. But notice that they're PC floppy drives, and that means that they won't read the standard old Amiga floppies because of the hardware limitations. Now, individual computers in the booth right next to ours in the back there is selling a card called a Catweasel Flipper that you can plug into an Amiga 1, and it will access your old Amiga format floppies as well. And that has also been tested. I haven't personally tested it, but I know that people have reported it as working. Yeah. Pardon me, I didn't. SSL. Again, I can't. Ben says yes.
Question is, will there be SSL support? Ben's nodding yes.
Ben, do you know about a browser that will be delivered? iBrowse will be included. Okay.
The question is, what about a browser? Anyone out in the audio have any questions? I'll be more than happy to relay them to the speaker.
iBrowse 2.3 at the very least, maybe 2.4 or 3.0. MUI does come. MUI continues to work on this. And again, it's because of legacy applications. We really can't deliver a system that's going to support legacy applications unless it supports MUI. And in fact, MUI has been recompiled to be PowerPC native and to have some more integration into the operating system than the old version of MUI to try to improve that reliability, try to improve that speed. But it's very important that MUI continue to exist on these systems. The push is going to be that new software development should work with Reaction, because Reaction is the official graphics system of the Amiga. But we can't ignore MUI, and we're not ignoring MUI, and it's there. Other questions? Has the price been set on the SDK?
Hey, he repeated that one.
Not yet. Oh, the cost of production.
So it'll be affordable.
Ten euros, $10, something that order of magnitude. Another question.
What do you like best about OS4?
Oh, you know, what I like best about OS4 is the I love the fact that I can see it working here and that I recognize it as Amiga. I can't overemphasize the tension that I've felt for 10 years of wondering if we were going to get something, and if we did, if I was going to recognize it as my very favorite operating system of all time. And not only are we getting it, and I do recognize it as a real Amiga, but it's got all of these additions, these improvements that are very much Amiga-like. the appearance, the PowerPC speed, and the forward direction. To me, the last 2 weeks have just completely changed my mood about where the Amiga is going. I feel so much more positive finally seeing this working. Anything else? Yeah.
Is there any plans on adding eye candy bundles? Some key whiz. Let me show you what this new Amiga can do.
Any plans on adding eye candy bundles?
Something like skins and so on.
Well, something like the demos from the original Amiga, where you can see, you can show off to your friends, this is Robo City.
Well, I can't help but guess that those kinds of things are going to be widely available on the internet about a week after this hits the street. There are lots of talented people in the Amiga community that are much better at doing that, certainly, than I am. That's always been the case. That's the way Amigans are. There's going to be plenty of that, I think.
How's the built-in media player progressing?
I can't speak to that. I think Ben is going to be giving a talk a little bit later this afternoon. He may be able to address what's happening with development. I know nothing more than that I got this, and I've tried it, and I like it. And thank you very much.
Well, he's concluded his presentation, and he gets his round of golf claps, hole in one. So, hopefully we'll have Ben a little later. I'm still trying to worm a Amiga 1 CSPPC over here. So
the Raffleman is up next. And so here is the Rafflemaster, Jack McCann.
How about turning the lights up?
It's raffle time. It's my turn to win again, because Bill stupid 150 tickets. He's one up on me now, so I've got to win something else. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you got a magnet, too.